So we have the third of our stories from John that are tied to the three scrutinies and have been since the 4th century. And today we'll have our third scrutiny for the elect, those who are on their final leg of their journey to the Easter sacraments of baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist. So since the 4th century, these readings have been tied to those scrutinies. There must be something important that the church wants us to understand about these readings. So let's just quickly recap them, because they all kind of tie together. The first one was the woman at the well, and she was thirsting for the perfect husband. She was thirsting for salvation. She was thirsting for the perfect human being. And Christ was thirsting for her faith. And in the course of their conversation, she says to him, "I know the Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he will tell us everything." And Jesus says to her, "I, the one who am standing here speaking with you, am he." And she comes to believe. It's a conversion story. And then last week we had the man born blind, and that's a conversion story also. In the beginning, when they first ask him, "Who cured you?" he says, "That man they called Jesus." And then a while later, they call him back in again, and they say, "Who do you say that he is?" And he says, "He's a prophet." And then later on, he meets Jesus again, and he calls Jesus Lord. And he believes, and he worships him. It's a conversion story. So then today, we have the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And this also is a conversion story. Jesus says, "I'm glad that this happened, and I'm glad I wasn't there, so that you may come to believe." His disciples, the crowd, Mary and Martha, they're all coming to faith in him. But the crux of the story is that little conversation between Martha and Jesus. Jesus said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died." And he says, "Your brother will rise again." And she says, "Oh, I know, in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus says, no. "I, the one who is standing before you, conversing with you, I am the resurrection and the life." The life. I am the author of life. I was there at the beginning. And remember, John's gospel starts out like this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in him and through him, everything came into being, and apart from him, nothing came to be." Jesus is not just the man standing in front of these people conversing with them. He is the author of life. He is God. He is the source. He is the life. And so, these people whose worlds are so small, the woman at the well is worried about coming there every day to get water to drink. And Jesus says, "I offer you the water that will quench your thirst so that you will never thirst again." And the man born blind is so thrilled that he gets to see. And Jesus says, "I am vision itself. In me and through me, you will have a sight that will last forever. And you will see truth, not just trees and people walking around. You'll see truth itself." And he says to Martha today, "I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? You believe that Lazarus will be raised on the last day. I am the author of that life. I'm going to raise him on the last day. You believe that. Why don't you believe that I can raise him today?" We believe in an abstract sense that in the end, at the end of time, we'll all rise with Christ. But do we believe that Christ is raising us out of the darkness of our sin and our death now? A key to the understanding of what this means for us is in that second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. He says, "If you are in the flesh, you cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit." What is he talking about? In the time of Christ, people believed in the spirit world more powerfully than they believed in the physical world. And a lot of that had to do with it was a Greek-speaking world in those days, even in Palestine. And they were influenced by the philosopher Plato, and Plato believed in the spirit world more than he believed in the physical. Plato's basic teaching was that the real world is the spirit, and because of some transgression or other, we got cast into this physical body, but the whole purpose of human life is to get back out of this body and into the spirit world again. The flesh, the physical world is untrustworthy. The spirit world is trustworthy. That's where people were in Jesus' time. But aren't we the opposite of that today? Because of modern philosophy and modern science, we believe in the physical world, but we doubt the spirit world. So many people today don't believe in the resurrection of the body. Even people who announce the creed Sunday after Sunday, and it always ends, "I believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting, amen." And yet, many people don't trust that today. That there's more than just this physical world, that there's more to reality than what I can trust with my five senses. The real reality is the divine, more than the physical. And we need to get back to our trust in that. But there's another thing that St. Paul is saying. For St. Paul, the flesh, by that word, he means the law. And the law was so important to the Jews, and this is the mistake of the Pharisees. We see this in the New Testament over and over again. Jesus' controversy with the Pharisees has to do with this law. And the problem with the law, while it can be helpful in many ways, the problem is that it deludes us into thinking that we can save ourselves. If I just follow the law, if I just follow it to the letter, if I can fulfill the law, then I am saved. It's self-salvation. And for St. Paul, salvation is only in Christ. It's only in God. Our delusion today is not so much in law, although we can get into law too. I mean, we're a very legalistic, litigious society in the modern Western world. But there's also this delusion of self-salvation, that if I just work hard enough, I can earn my salvation. If I'm just holy enough, if I just pray hard enough, if I just do all the activities, the religious activities faithfully enough, that I'll be saved. And the problem with that is, it depends on me then to save myself, rather than accepting salvation from God. See, for St. Paul, it's all gift. It's God's will to save us. And even our desire to be saved is put there by grace. We wouldn't even desire to have salvation if that were not put into our hearts by God's grace. Grace is prior to everything. And if that's true, then that grace was there long before we were born. That grace was there, that desire of God, that thirst for our salvation that was in God's heart was there before the world began. It's all prior. And our worth doesn't come from how hard we work or how much we earn or where we live or what we wear or what we drive. And the delusion of this modern world is that salvation is in all of those things. And if I just had a better this and a more prominent that, and if I were smarter and if I were more beautiful and if I were more educated, that's all an illusion. Our worth comes from God, because God loved us, each of us individually, before the world began. It's eternal. It's infinite. And so let's get out of our small little world that's worried about our next thirst that needs to be quenched, our next vision that needs to be seen, our next resurrection from this sin or that sin. Expand out out into the universe, into the infinity of God's love, and allow ourselves to walk with God and to have God in us and ourselves to be in God. You see, Jesus is the enfleshment of that eternal God. Without Jesus, the man, without his historical entrance into our physical condition at one point, without that, God would just be a mere abstraction. He would be a philosophical, you know, and powerful and wonderful and everything like that, but only philosophers would care. What makes us care is that he took on our human flesh. He became a body. So it's not just an abstract principle, it's a person. And at the same time, Jesus is not just a man. He's not just a great man, a miracle worker. You see in this story today, Mary and Martha both say to him, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. We saw you work all kinds of miracles. And then later they say, well, he cured that blind man. Why couldn't he do something about so this guy wouldn't have died? In other words, they're thinking about him as a man who is a kind of a miracle worker who may be close to God and can do some fantastic things, but they're not thinking of him as the eternal Son of the Trinity. But he is. He is the infinity of God brought into a physical body. And he invites you and me into the same condition, to have the infinity of God in my body, and to have my body as part of the infinity of God. That's salvation. That's what we're called to. That's what we need to say yes to. Jesus says to Martha, do you believe this? And she says, yes, I believe that you are the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world. And every day we need to say, yes, I believe that you are Lord. You are the Son of God who is coming into me to be with me today and inviting me today to be with you.